made all most of the decisions where we were going to move to.
Mm-hmm.
And we were holding up the progress of building that station because they tore the place up to my father's restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So finally, the Santa Fe Railroad Company owned this piece of land that we're Chinatown is sitting on now. And they offered this piece of land for us to move into. Now, what they did was they decided to have this attorney to incorporate Chinatown. So everybody bought a share, which is what, a couple hundred dollars, and, you know, those who had money can buy $100 or $200 stocks, and those who had lots of money buy a lot of money of stock, you know, a lot of stock. And so Chinatown Corporation was formed. And the original people who bought into Chinatown Corporation was the one who was evicted from Chinatown where the Union Depot was. And that's the beginning of the Los Angeles Chinatown Corporation. And the Santa Fe Railroad Company deed this land over the Chinatown Corporation, that after they finished paying for it, it belongs to the corporation. And so Chinatown started out with 4 buildings. Chinatown mm-hmm. started with 4 buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the other Chinese people in Chinatown, which is across the street, which is the other side of Alameda. And this side of Alameda is considered downtown, and once you cross the street, it's considered uptown, you know.
Uh-huh.
So downtown Chinese people was wholeheartedly in support of this project moving here. But the uptown Chinatown people was not that enthusiastic about it because they didn't know how it would turn out. But at any rate, the upshot was it that 4 buildings went up first with what money that we had, and it was a great success. Governor Marion at that time opened it, and I was the girl that was carrying the bouquet for Mrs. Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Chinatown became very popular, and shortly after that, other buildings started building. Other people started to build in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And the master plan was fulfilled when the last building went up. For many years, this is called central part of Chinatown, the central Chinatown Plaza. And right after, I guess right before the war, back in sometime in 1940, people acquired property across the street and start building the other side of Chinatown, which is wholly different from this Chinatown. The other Chinatown, the other part of Chinatown is privately owned individually on each piece of mm-hmm. land.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is the only Chinatown that's incorporated. Only part of Chinatown is incorporated. And unfortunately, at the time when the other side of Chinatown was being built, we Chinese people were limited in our education as far as our parents concerned. And those who invested money across the street, the builder that was building it went bankrupt. There was never any contract. They didn't know anything about having a contract in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So the building over across the street, which was only half finished, didn't have enough money to finish it. And at one time, before the building went up, my mother asked about contracts, you know, and people just poo-poo her because, you know, nobody asked for contract. Why should you ask for contract? So what happened was that all those Chinese people that was building across the street got stuck, and the building was half finished, and litigation was underway, and because the fact that all of them didn't have a contract, there was, who do you sue? You didn't sue anyone. So consequently, I think my brother David was very instrumental in gathering the group together because he has a building across the street. And part of his money tied up and he was determined to finish it. So they had many stormy meetings, you know.
Between whom?
Between all the landowner over there, all the people who owned the building over there. They couldn't agree what to do. But he was determined that he's going to get his money out because he was, by that time, I'm just trying to remember when it was that they start building. It must have been right after the war, you know, back World War II, in the 40s. And he had a lot of money tied up, and he was determined that he's going to get his money back, either by finishing the building. That was the only way that everybody was going to get their money back, was by finishing the building, right? So I think after about, I don't know how long it took him to gather the people together, but they realized that it was kind of a half situation in and half out, because the building is half finished and all you need to do to finish the other half, even though they have to start pouring money in it, but at least it's going to be theirs. But anyway, they finally got it off, got it started, and they finished the building across the street. But that's just to show you that we didn't have the know-how. You know, we're ignorant in those days. We didn't have the education, and we were never built before. You know, Chinese people was, let's say all Oriental people or all minority people in the United States was discriminated against because first to begin with, we can't go beyond Chinatown for jobs. We didn't have the proper education. If we got through high school, we were lucky. Due to the fact that we have a business in Chinatown, we were also, in a sense, tied to the business and didn't seek further education as far as we were concerned, you know, because we had something to fall back on, and we thought that was it. It would have been better for us after the war. We had all gone and finish our formal education, having a full college education, but we didn't. That was something that I've always been very unhappy about, or that I didn't go on to college. I wish I did.
What schools did you attend?
I just
LA?
Finished high school. I went to Belmont High. High school, and that was it.
Which grammar school and which junior
high? We went to California Street School, Central Junior High School, Belmont High, or some people went to Lincoln, which is within the area which you are assigned to as far as the high school is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you finish Belmont High?
Yeah, I finished Belmont High, and then the war broke out.
When did you graduate?
I graduated in 42.
Mm-hmm.
I think the war broke out right then. And after I graduated, I went to work for the OPA, rent control.
What did OPA?
Yeah. OPA, Office of Public. I don't remember what OPA stands for now. It's been so many years, you know. I worked there, you know, during the war, they have rent control.
Mm-hmm.
You can't raise rent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you raise rent, well, you have to go to this office,
OPA.
Which is OPA, to ask for increase in rental. And I worked there for about 6 months or so, and I didn't like it.
What were you doing there?
I was a clerk, office
mm-hmm.
clerk, type of small.
Mm-hmm.
Answering telephone, and you know, because we're Chinese and speak Chinese, we were considered bilingual.
Was this for an office in Chinatown?
No, this is the downtown. It covers the whole of Los Angeles City.
Mm-hmm.
And I left, and I was going to go back to school, to City College, which I never did. Then I got an offer of a job. It was very different. It was a salesman job. And women never go out and sell in those days. It was just wasn't. It was just prohibited first to begin with. I think men are considered salesmen. They've never hired a woman salesman before in this company. But because of the fact there was a shortage of workers, it was during the war now, because there was a shortage of manpower, Oriental at that. They decided to take a chance on a girl, so they hired me. So I was more like a, you know, woman lived, considering my age. I was only 19.
Where,
or
which
20.
Company?
It's called Klauber Wagenheimer. It's a wholesale firm, sells sundries, beer, wine, Kleenex, films, cigarettes, cigars, such as that.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who I took over the job was going to be drafted if he didn't go into something essential. You know, in those days, if you aren't in an essential job that's vital to the defense of the country, of course, then
mm-hmm.
you're going to get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So he went into farming. He became a farmer.
Mm.
I became the salesman. So I was the first female Chinese salesman, I think, in this whole state of California, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young, and I was only about 20, 19. I worked there a couple of years before I was married.
Did they train you at all?
No, there was no training. You trained yourself. What it is, they just give you the list of grocery stores and restaurants and places where he had called before, and you go there and sell. I was then was just an order taker, mainly because there was nothing to sell, you know.
Was your salary short of everything.
Mm. Salary?
By commission? And
Salary plus commission.
What do you remember roughly what it was?
I think I was paid $35 a week plus commission.
How much commission would that have been?
Well, let's see, I think by the time I made about $400 a month, you know.
Was that like considered a certain percentage of what you sold? Or
I think something like that. To tell you the truth, I never did find out.
Didn't know how to ask.
Hmm. I never had a job such as that before.
Mm-hmm.
And they just told me, well, I'll give you $35 a week and you pay your own gas and all that, and then you work on a commission. To this day, I never know how much I made, but, well, I thought it was a change, it was a challenge, and I like it because it's an outdoor job and you go from place to place and you meet some very interesting people.
Were there any other Orientals? Any other? They didn't have to be women, but men doing sales?
In those days, very few, very few. Because company law on a whole still was very prejudiced, you know. If they can use a Caucasian, they'd rather use a Caucasian. Now, even to this day in Chinatown, you know, after all these years, I have not seen too many Chinese salesman that and who works for purveyor, who purveyor Chinatown. And you've heard of your black power, that if you want to go down to Central Avenue to do business with them, you got to have to hire a black salesman to come down and call to sell beer, wine, liquor, grocery, whatever it is. Well, Chinatown hadn't had that demand, and no one has ever thought of demanding that, because Chinatown here, surrounding area right now, has a great drawing power as far as buying is concerned, you know. And funny thing, nobody ever thought of it. But of course, I think time has changed too. You know, your economy has changed that. In other words, back when the black power was demanding a lot of things, that's the time when we Chinese should have demanded our share as a salesman. Hey, okay, you want to take order in Chinatown, you send me a Chinese salesman. Right now there's a Jewish salesman that's taking order in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't it be a Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
And same goes for other things. Now, I'm in a travel business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, my husband is also in the maintenance business. Back 6 years ago, we saw an opportunity here in Chinatown that I thought that would work well, and that was the maintenance business in Chinatown area, because I saw it growing and there was a need for it.
What kind of maintenance? Of
building maintenance.
Apartments or?
No, building maintenance, business only. And back 6 years ago, we started, and we started here in Chinatown. We now are building maintenance for all your saving and loan and bank in this particular area. The only place that I haven't got as a client, customer, is Bank of America. And this is something that I cannot understand, and I'm very, really very furious about. I fought for them for 6 years, and still out in the cold looking in. And I couldn't believe it, that here is B of A, who bought a piece of property that they paid $400,000 for, subsequently put a $250,000 building on top of it, having all Chinese teller and executive, and when I approached them to ask them if I can do the maintenance in that building, the company who is part of B of A, see, B of A owns Continental Maintenance Company, was an entity of Bank of America. They turned me down cold. To this day, I still haven't got that account.